Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to Bridge City Church, Murraysville campus. I'm Pastor Eric, and I'm excited about today for a lot of different reasons. I was excited because group kickoff is happening today. We're going to be signing up for groups, and we have Pittsburgh popcorn available for everyone here as well. But I'm more excited about the love of God. You know, as we were just singing and worshiping, I just feel like God was doing some healing work in some of you. I think all of us need some healing work done in our hearts throughout our lives, right? But God reminding us of how much we're loved because he loved us first. That the only way we can love is because he loved us first. That it really is, you know, not to get just where we stay in the love of God and the surface level, but having that deep truth of God's love for us in our lives, it changes you. It changes you. It makes you a different person. His love heals. His love sets us free. His love redeems us, right? So today's message is really peppered and seasoned. Whether you don't like pepper, you like seasoning. It's flavored with the flavor of God's love all throughout it. And recognizing that ultimately what we do and why we do it is because of his love. Because of God's love for us. And I know I'm going to repeat that often, but we can't just brush past that. Like that's the core in our hearts of why we love is because he first loved us. But you know, you and I are created for relationships. You realize that we're not made to do life alone. God sent his son Jesus to die for us so that we'd have a relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. But even when we look at Genesis chapter 2, which isn't on a slide, but I just want to read to you. God says, it's not good that man should be alone. Of all the things he created and everything in creation, he said, it's all good, but there's one bad thing about creation, that man should not be alone. Right? And it's not just talking about men in the male category, but I believe all of us, men and women, we are created for relationship. It's not good for us to be alone. We are designed to be in relationships. And I believe some of you need to hear this for different reasons. Maybe some of us, and I know my bent before I got saved was, I'm going to do everything on my own. I don't need anybody. And God's had to transform my mindset to realizing, I need other people to do life with. I need my wife on a daily basis to help me and be my helpmate and to carry me through. You know, we need one another. We need one another. We need to be in relationships. Well, I want you to ask yourself and think about, what are different kinds of relationships that you have in your life? Do you have good ones? Do you have bad ones? Maybe thinking of your childhood or growing up or even the ones you have now. You know, typically, and in my case, I could think of some negative relationships in my life, right? Pretty quickly. I can go to some specific things throughout my life, like relationships that impacted me for the bad. But we want to look at what relationships have impacted your life for the good. And I think a lot of people don't really have many of those relationships that have impacted your life for the good. Or maybe it was one of those kind of relationships that God had to use what the enemy meant for evil and make it good. Amen. Some of those relationships that like took you down a road you didn't want to go to, but God used it for something good. But ultimately, looking at how relationships impact our life for good. First relationship I think of, obviously, is my relationship with God. And that's the first and most important relationship we must have and must keep and must grow in that affects and impacts every other relationship we have. Second is my wife. And if you're married, your spouse should be after God, right? I always tell her, you're the second love of my life because God's number one. And if you ever flip that around, you get them out of order. But my wife is the best thing that's happened to me since my salvation, other than my salvation, because just the relationship makes me want to be a better man. She makes me want to be a better husband, a better follower of Jesus, a better father. She makes me better. That's a relationship that has impacted my life for the good. My kids. I remember having my kid at 20 years old, 21 years old, my first son, and I realized I had no idea what I was doing. Many of you are like, doesn't matter how old you are. You still don't know what you're doing when you have kids, right? But having my son, especially at such a young age, I had to grow up, right? I had to change my life. My life had to be different for the good, for it had to become better because I'm modeling something for my kid, right? And parents and grandparents, we model our lives after, our kids and grandkids are going to model their lives after what they see, not just what we say, right? Monkey see, monkey do. It's not monkey say, monkey do. It's they see us and they model their lives after us. So it's very important for us to be not just relationships that have impacted us for the good, but are we in relationships that are impacting others for good as well? You know, Pastor Rick and Natalie's another relationship, last one I'll share with you, of somebody who's really been in a relationship that has impacted my life for the good. It's made me a better husband, a better father, a better man, a better follower of Jesus, impacted my life as a spiritual father to me. You know, that there's a lot of good relationships that we have, but I think a lot of our relationships are very maybe surface level, or there's not much impact. And we're going to dive into looking at how do we go from wanting good, healthy, life-transforming relationships to actually having them, right? How many of you want healthy, thriving, good relationships in your life? Who doesn't, right? Some people say, I got too many. I say, well, great, can you share some with us? But why don't we be the people that are helping impact other people's lives for good? But the tension with these is that there are often relationships that negatively impact us. And perhaps some of us here, I believe you're starving for community. I believe every single one of us, we truly want deep down a community. We want to belong to something. We want to be a part of a family. That's the first thing that comes to my mind when people say, what is church to you? Church is family. This is my family. You are my family. That we are in a family, a relationship together. And just like real life family, we can love each other but not always like each other, right? But we do life together. We love one another. And family matters, that relationships matter. We're not to do life alone. And some of these things we're going to talk through today, we've mentioned the previous couple messages, but how many of you have ever lost weight? Anybody, a couple of you? How many, are you losing weight now, but how many of you have ever at some point in your life, we've all lost weight at some point, right? How many of you had to lose it more than once? Ooh, ouch, right? And just like weight loss, you got to do it over and over and over again. Unfortunately, it's what we do. It comes back on and then goes back off. Well, similarly, the word of God, as though it stands true no matter what you hear, just because you heard it once or twice or 10 times before, the word of God is still valid and we still need to hear the same things over and over and over again, right? Because if we did everything that we were supposed to, we probably wouldn't put the weight back on, right? So the word of God, and similarly, some of these points, we're repeating them over and over again, week to week, so that we grab a hold of it, so that we apply it, so that we don't have to go back and forth as much, but we can continue to be transformed into the image of Jesus. So the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 12, same two verses we've read each and every week. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Again, he's speaking not just to one guy, he's speaking to the brothers, to the people, right? The church in Rome, the Christians, the believer. He's like, I'm speaking to all of y'all, right? And often in the Bible, many, many times, the Spirit of the Lord, he's speaking to the church of, fill in the blank, the church of, or the churches, or the people of, he's speaking to us, right? The relationships that are gathered in one location, right? We're gathered as a relationship, a family of God, that's just a part of a bigger family of God. It's a part of the bigger family of God that's ultimately all of God's children that are part of his family. But God is speaking, and many times throughout the Bible, in reading the Bible, you know, this is a helpful hint is sometimes we read the Bible just, what is God speaking to me? And that's good. That's valid. We should do that. But a second question to ask is, God, what are you speaking to your church? What are you speaking to us? What are you speaking to the people in my group or the people in my family? I've asked the question, God, what are you speaking to my wife and how can I help her hear your voice? How do I help my children hear your voice? So it goes beyond just my mind and my life to, how can I help benefit other people? The shift moves from me to a we. But transformation is a process of becoming more like Jesus through these three ways. Relationships that transform us, that's going to be our focus today. Renewing of our minds, which we covered the last 2 weeks. Revealing of God's truth, which that's going to be looking ahead to the following weeks. And how do we become more like Jesus? Well, it's a process. It takes time, just like losing weight. Amen? It takes time to transform our physical bodies. It takes time to transform our spiritual bodies as well. So how do we do it? How do we renew our minds and shifting our thoughts when it comes to relationships? Well, there are three things: reveal, remove, and replace. We got to reveal where maybe how we view relationships isn't the best way, or isn't the way God would have us wanting to view relationships. I'll be honest, a lot of us have had bad relationships. Anybody? You've had a negatively impacting relationship. That can cause that barrier, those walls to be built up, that stronghold that comes up, that we have to reveal that maybe this isn't the best perspective or the best mindset to have when I view relationships or how I view them. So then we got to remove those things, remove those barriers. I know somebody let me down. I know somebody hurt me. I know my trust was crushed. I know I've been betrayed or hurt in some way. We got to remove that. As true as it is, it doesn't mean it wasn't real or valid. That feeling, though, has to be removed and replace it with, what does the Word of God say? God says He's created me to be in relationship. God says it's not good for me to be alone. All throughout the Bible, He warns of isolation and loneliness and being by ourselves. It's like we're a sheep away from the herd that's easily picked off by a predator, right? So we got to replace that, the whatever the mindset is or the way we view relationships, with the truth of God's Word. Because there's lies around us and lies that we all believe. At some point in our life, somebody, it was planted in us. Men can't be trusted. Women can't be trusted. So-and-so can't be trusted. Authority can't be trusted. Politicians can't be, that one maybe still stands true, but I'm kidding. But people, you know, often we have these mindsets of things that affect us, and it prevents us from having truly life-giving relationships. There's a quote from Charles Stanley. It's not up on the screen, but I want to read it to you. He says, to renew your mind is to involve yourself in the process of allowing God to bring to the surface the lies that you have mistakenly accepted and replace them with truth. This is how you do it. You invite God, say, God, bring to the surface the lies that I've mistakenly accepted and replace them with your truth. And to the degree that you do this, your behavior will be transformed. To the degree that you ask God to help you spot the lies, to reveal them, remove them, and replace them with the truth of God's Word, is the degree that you'll get free, you'll be transformed, and you'll be more like Jesus. Because it's our mindsets. Again, this collection of thoughts and beliefs that shape your habits, affecting how you feel and what you do. Our mindset. Now, what's our mindset towards relationships? And I'm not just talking about a romantic relationship or husband and wife or anything like, but all relationships. We have mindsets about relationships, don't we? Maybe certain coworkers or boss or people in your life that you have a mindset about that we go, how do I shift my mindset from what it is to what God would have me and how I should think? I think if we looked at all the relationships we have in our life, we have to ask the question, do they draw me closer to God or to something else? Think of the people closest to you in your life, your closest friends or your family, maybe your parents or your children. Do they draw you closer to God or do they drive you to something else? That's a good test of how do I gauge, are these healthy relationships? Now, I'll be honest, family sometimes, they might drive you to God because you're praying harder, all right? But sometimes we don't necessarily say we're never going to have a relationship with them, but say, how do I set up healthy boundaries? You know, certain family members may drive you to other things that aren't close to God. How do we set up healthy boundaries so that we stay close to God and that we do draw closer to Him? And they're not always bad things. Maybe friends of yours that are drawing you to other things away from God, they aren't necessarily always bad, but I believe they could dull your sense, dull your sharpness of your faith when they're not drawing you closer to God. If we truly want to be transformed into the image of Jesus, we must have relationships that sharpen us and sharpen our faith. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Well, how does something get sharp? There's friction, right? There's interaction. You can't sharpen yourself all by yourself. The Word of God can do a lot, but ultimately the Word says to sharpen you means you have to be in relationship with other people. A friend sharpens a friend. You know, the Word of God is a double-edged sword, according to Hebrews 4:12. That the Word of God is used when we share it with one another. That's what's so exciting about groups, is the groups is where groups of friends gather together, they read the Bible, they're sharpening their swords, they pray together, and they encourage and help one another take their next step with God. We grow and become more like Jesus when we enter groups. And, you know, there's relationships that we have that make us feel better, right? There's some people, I can think of some people, I like being around them, they make me feel better. But the second question is, do they make me better? Do they make me a better Christian? Do they make me a better person, or they just make me feel better? Because there's friends that you can go hang out with, party with, do all kinds of stuff that are not going to make you better as a person, but may make you just feel better. So, and it does make a difference what you believe, because what you believe determines how you behave. What do we believe about God? What do we believe about our relationships? And who are those closest to us determines how we behave and what we believe. Your friends and the relationships you have will determine the quality and direction of your life. You know, there's a lot of different statistics and famous leaders that say, you know, count your five closest friends and I'll tell you who you are. Look at the people closest to you and I'll tell you what kind of person you are. Because we become like the people we're closest with, like who we spend the most time with. Right? My prayer is that we would do life with people that would sharpen us, that would make us more like Jesus, that would demonstrate in our lives who Jesus is to us, as well as us demonstrating Jesus to them. That the quality and direction of our life is in direct correlation with the people you spend the most time with. That may mean some of you need to put up some boundaries or limit some exposure and time to some people, and then say, how can I find better friends or better people, better influences to increase the quality and direction of my life to be more like Jesus? Well, how do we do this? So, same 4 points we've had last couple weeks. Admit, ask, apply, and be active. Admit you have a pattern. Admit you have a mindset or a stronghold when it comes to relationships. Maybe some of you have great relationships, godly relationships. You're becoming more like Jesus on a daily basis. That's great. I'm not saying to change that. But say, how much more can I help impact and give to somebody else? How can I be in a relationship where I'm blessing and helping somebody else to pour into them? Second thing, if we have some relationships that need checked in our lives, ask for help. Ask for help, especially in clarifying what is this relationship? How is this relationship, ask God to clarify, what is this relationship doing in my life? How is it affecting and impacting me? This ask for help is something that, you know, I bring up over and over. We're really training our 2-year-old hard to ask for help. He's in the my do it phase. I'm going to do everything myself. And I'm like, God, remove that from him, right? But asking for help. And I think as men, women do it as well. But we've deceived ourselves in thinking that asking for help is weakness. And if we ask for help, we're showing that we're not strong. But really, asking for help is one of the strongest things you can do, because you recognize that you have a weakness and that you need other people. And one of the strongest things we can do is ask for help, so then when we don't do it, we think we're doing something strong, when really we're doing something weaker by not asking for help. So the point is, ask for help. Ask for help when you need input, when there's big life changes going on, when you're making decisions on things. It's not asking permission. It's saying, give me your perspective. Hey, you've gone through some stuff. You've gone through life more than I have. Give me your perspective. I love calling up older guys, more wise guys, and saying, help me with this. What did you do? Right? Over and over, I call different pastors and different leaders and different people, just men in my life that I can go to and say, hey, what did you do? You had kids. How'd you keep them alive? Right? Like, what do you do? What do you do with the children? No, asking for help in our lives is relationship. I'm so thankful for the relationships I have to help me stay the course. But apply the Word of God. You know, the best relationships I have are when men I sit down with and they share the Word of God with me. When I say, how do I do this? What do I do? I don't know what decision to make. And they share biblical scriptures with me for biblical counsel. That's when I know I got a good relationship that's transforming me to be more like Jesus. Because it isn't just, well, I used to put the kid in the drawer and shove it in the dresser, right? No, but they give principles and spiritual guidance to apply the Word of God to my life. When somebody shares scripture with you, they're probably a good person to be around, be in good relationship with. But then active in pursuing freedom. Good relationships don't happen by accident. If you're sitting around going, where are all the people that are wanting to be best friends with me? It's probably not going to happen. You got to put yourself out there. You got to go up to somebody and say, hey, what are you doing this afternoon for lunch? Hey, what are you doing for the Super Bowl next week? Hey, what are you doing? Like, can we get together? I don't even like football. I don't either. Let's just get together though, right? You have to go and pursue healthy relationships. You have to go and meet people where they are and be willing to pay for coffee or buy them breakfast, whatever it may be. But relationships that transform will do all four of these. You'll have admission, you'll realize you need relationships that are healthy, asking for help, applying the word of God, and actively pursuing freedom. The result will be healthy relationships. So today's going to be a group sign-up day. As I mentioned, I'll give you more direction on that. But why we want you to be in a group is not just to hear about these groups. We don't want you just to know the information. I want you to experience what it's like to be in a connection group. There's so many stories. I have stories I could share with you of being in group where at times I usually lead a group every semester, but I don't always, the group doesn't always need me. I need the group sometimes, right? It's like when I show up at group, I want to be somebody who shows up to group not going, what do I get out of it? What can I learn from this? But how can I give to this group? How can I contribute to the other members of this group? Maybe I'm not learning any new information, but I bet I can go and I can help be a part of and bless somebody else. I can pray for other group members. What a shift in our focus of not just going, what can I get from this, but how can I give to this group? Maybe I can watch kids so they can have a group. Maybe I can do whatever, make food or prep something or help host it in my house. There's lots of different ways we can contribute so that the whole is better. You know, one of Paul's main writings, one of the things he wrote about often was community and unity. Over and over throughout the epistles, he's writing about community, how to the churches. He's writing about unity, how we need to be unified in the body of Christ. And I want to read to you out of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read 6 verses and then unpack them verse by verse, kind of line by line here. Starting in verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now I'm going to pause there and keep that up for a moment. How many of you think this has happened? There's such unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we are all mature in the Lord and measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Does anybody think that's happened? Well, I was taught early on in my faith that this had already happened and that's why some of the gifts to the church don't exist anymore. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. There's pastors and there's teachers, but some of them cease, some of them still exist. And I go, but this verse seems so clear that they still exist for today. There still are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers because he says their responsibility. These are gifts that Christ has given to the church. He's given them to build up the church, to do God's work, to equip the people. And this will continue until the full and complete standard of Christ, which is when Christ returns. We believe these gifts are still in operation within the church, the Big C church as a whole, overall. There are still apostles planting and launching new works and building and reaching unreached people groups. There's prophets that speak on behalf of God. There are evangelists reaching and winning the lost. There's pastors who shepherd the flock and teachers who teach the word of God. Like, why would these ever stop until the word of God is complete and there's a full and complete standard of Christ? So let's continue. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So let's unpack some of this. You know, verse 11, you know, Jesus gave the gifts to the church, and why did he give them? He's the head. And, you know, many people, we get given gifts. Maybe you still have some Christmas gifts that you haven't opened yet. You know, how would that person who gave you the gift feel, or how would you feel if you gave somebody a gift, especially an expensive or elaborate gift, and they haven't opened it or used it yet? We'd probably be like, wow, maybe that wasn't a great gift. But I think more often we get gifts from God that we just don't utilize because we don't know how, right? Somebody gives you something, you're like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to use this. And we just don't use it. And God has given the church, the Big C Church, gifts that he wants us to use. And there's so many other gifts in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and here in Ephesians that God wants us to use the gifts. And he wants us to learn how to use them. In verse 12, he says to equip that responsibility of the people, of the apostles, the gift, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. That word equip is to train. It's like creating into a condition of fitness, bringing to a condition of fitness. It's also restoring, like setting of a bone. That these gifts that are given are meant to be, their responsibility is to bring healing, restoration, and strength to the body. That we as a body of Christ are supposed to be made into a condition of fitness. I know a lot of you are thinking, like, you keep talking about this fitness thing. And you know, losing weight. And that's not just physically, but spiritually. And I believe in every way of our lives, we should grow and mature and become healthy and fit. Not just physically, but in all ways, to grow and become equipped. A transformed relationship helps others become equipped to do the work of the church and build it up. That's a transformed relationship. It's not just so I feel better, but so that we actually do something together, the work of the church, and build it up. That next word, build, built up, there is build up. To build up the church actually means to build the house of God, the dwelling place of God. In the Greek, it's oikodome. Oikos, have you ever heard of oikos, the yogurt? It actually is like household or family. Oikodome is the place where the family of God gather. So to build up, what are we building up? The church is the household of God. The family of God is being built up, and that's why we're called to build together and look at how do we tear down the things that have been built up that prevent us from being close to God and start building something that is worthwhile. You know, when children are born and begin to grow, the parents have to grow with them, right? You grow and mature as parents when your kids are growing and maturing. You face new challenges, especially when those teenage years hit, right? You face new challenges when they go off to college. You as parent, we have to change and grow as our family changes and grows. Same thing with children of God, with the church. As the church and people are getting saved and there's new people coming in the church, we continue to grow and mature and become more like Christ. That these transformed relationships seek to build one another up, not for their own sake, but for the sake of others. Right, parents, especially moms, you sacrifice so much for your children. I know men, you do too, but ladies, they sacrifice a lot more typically. Right? You sacrifice your body. You sacrifice often careers. You sacrifice other dreams and hopes and so much. And you spend all this time pouring into these children. That's not for your sake, but for theirs. Right? Likewise, a transformed relationship spiritually within the body of Christ is we should look to how do we help somebody else. How do we be a blessing, not just what do I get out of this relationship, right? If your marriage is struggling, it could be because you're trying to get what you can out of the relationship rather than what can I give? What can I give my spouse? How can I bless them, not just looking at what do I get out of it? You know, building up the church. There is nothing worth more building than the church. And I believe that wholeheartedly. My experience building houses and construction and all the work I've done in the natural, I realized none of that's going to stand the test of time. All the houses I've ever flipped and built are all going to be decrepit and fall down someday. But the church is the building, the household of God. That's going to stand true forever. That eternity is a really long time. And I want to invest my time, my talent, and my treasures into the one thing that Jesus said he's going to build. He says, I will build my church. And I'm talking Big C Church, not just Bridge City, just to clarify, you know, but I'm like, why not be a part of a local church to build something that's going to stand for eternity, to have eternal benefits? There's nothing worth more investing in than building the church, doing what God has asked us to do. The kingdom of God is the only place you get an eternal return on your investment. The only place you get a true eternal return on your investment. No matter what you invest in the kingdom of God, it always pays return. Whether on this life or in eternity, there's always a blessing that comes. Unity. Paul's writing about, you know, keeping the unity in verse 13, that he wants us to come to such unity that we'd be together, we'd be mature, that transform relationships, seek unity in Jesus' name. Psalm 133 says that there's harmony, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony and unity, that there's oneness. And where there's unity, it says God will pronounce a blessing on it. Anytime there's a unity of believers, not just agreeing with everything, but going in the same direction, there's a unity in our hearts, there's a blessing that comes from God the Father. And I love how we wrote this as, seek unity in Jesus' name. Everything we do is meant to point you to Jesus. When you invite friends and family and coworkers and neighbors, we want them to know the name of Jesus more than Eric's name or Pastor Rick's name or anybody else's name. It's not about our name. It's not even about Bridge City Church name. It's all about the name of Jesus. Because that's where unity can happen. We're moving the same direction to make the name of Jesus greater to know more people. It's already a great name, but most people don't know about it. We want to let more people know the power of the name of Jesus. He says that we won't be tossed about and blown around by every wind of new teaching. There's a lot of new teachings out there, even in Christendom or what's called Christianity, on YouTube and other places. And I caution people to say, don't just listen to somebody say something and think it sounds like the truth. Because a lot of times it can sound like the truth, but until you put it up against this, the Word of God, it could be skewed or distorted or something that's not quite the same as what the Bible communicates. So that wind is really understanding the difference. And he says to the church to grow up. Paul says, grow up. Move from immaturity to maturity. One of the simplest ways I think we can show maturity is selflessness. Who is immature? Little kids typically are immature and they go, my, my, mine. It's selfish. The more we move from selfishness to selflessness, we become more like Jesus. He was selfless. He came to serve. He sacrificed his life. What a perfect example for us to be more like Jesus, to be more mature, is to be more selfless, to demonstrate humility rather than pride. Because transform relationships spur others on toward maturity in Christ, able to stand firm up to any storm, culture, or the enemy may throw at us. You know what our foundation is the Word of God. Even things I add some my perspective, my opinion on some things, and I try to stick to what does the Word of God communicate? What does he want us to say? But any commentary, any preaching you do, check it to the Word of God. Check it to make sure, it's not just what Pastor Eric said, check the Bible. And if there's a discrepancy, come talk to me because I want to clear it up, right? Because it's never intentional. And I'm throwing that out there because the Word of God and the truth is so much more important than Pastor Eric being right. I'd rather be corrected with the Word of God than anything, than just having you believe something that's not completely or totally true. I'm saying because I have my opinion. I have my perspective, don't we all, right? We all have our opinion, our perspective. I'd say that because we want complete transparency as a church, as leaders. I do as a pastor. I say, check it to the Word of God. Don't just take anything and everything that's spoken as truth. But speaking truth is what he said, as Paul is saying here, of speaking truth to one another, being able to grow and speak truth in love. You know, speaking truth is something really easy for many people to do, but truth in love is a lot harder, right? My wife's looking at me like, speaking to myself. Transform relationships, though, speak truth in love so that others can become more like Jesus. Proverbs 27:6 says that faithful are the wounds of a friend, better than kisses from an enemy. Wounds of it when a friend, when you have a relationship with somebody and you can speak truth to them in love, it hurts sometimes, right? Like, hey, you're doing that thing again. Hey, you're acting that way again. That can hurt. But better to have a wound from a friend than a kiss from an enemy. Someone who just tells you something they think you want to hear, but they actually believe something else. That's not a good friend. If you have friends like that, you don't need enemies. You already got them, right? The people that tell you one thing, but they mean something else. But transform relationships, speak truth in love so that others can become more like Jesus. I think it's loving to tell somebody they got spinach in their teeth, right? When their tag's sticking out of their shirt, when their zipper's down, whatever. You know, I'm the person that's like, hey, you got something on you. I want to help. Because I'm like, that's the sign of love. Because then nobody else sees that about you, right? Instead, people often go, I'm not telling them. You know, I'm like, that you see it, and we all see it. We're all in group, and you're like, don't say anything because I got some food on my chin. Like, that's not loving. Tell the person. Do it privately. Don't say, hey, Pastor Eric, you got some sauce on your chin. Like, do it lovingly. Hey, you know, like, a little bit of wipe here. I'm so thankful for some guys and people here have tucked my tag in and showed me some things that were off, right? But truth without love is brutality. This is a quote from Warren Wiersbe. He's a great commentator of the Bible. Truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. We need both. Truth, just beating people with truth is just hurtful. It's brutality, according to Warren Wiersbe, right? But love without truth is hypocrisy. If you really love somebody, you'll tell them the truth. If you really show love is not full of lies or deception. Love is truth. And knowing that we need to have relationships and connections together, that God has created us as a whole body, fit together perfectly, to operate together, to be in cooperation with one another. You know, is often we read and hear about the body of Christ, right? The church is like a physical body. What's the circulatory system throughout the body of the church? It's love. Just like we need blood to go through our body, love is the circular circulatory system of the church. It's love. It's rooted in love. Without love, our body starves. Paul warns about, you can do all these great things, you can have all these gifts, all these talents, and do all this amazing stuff, but without love, you're bankrupt. Without love, it's pointless. Without love, it's a dead corpse that's walking around rather than being filled with the love of God. You know, there's studies that show that babies that are left alone and unloved and not cared for ultimately don't grow as well, they're not as strong, and they're more susceptible to diseases. But babies that are held and loved and cared for are much stronger and grow normally like they're supposed to. So it is with us. We are to be cared for and to be connected, not to be isolated Christians. Because an isolated Christian cannot minister to others, nor can others minister to him. And it is impossible for the gifts to be ministered either way. Isolated Christians, you know, being off by ourselves, doing our own thing, not being connected is really kind of pointless because we're not able to connect and grow, and it's like a part of your body that's separated from the body. What's the point? It's not very useful. But spiritual unity is something that we already have within us. We don't have to manufacture it. We don't have to try. If you have the love of God within you, if you have the Spirit of God, you already have everything you need to remove the lies that you've believed and to replace them with the truth of the Word of God so that we could minister to one another together. The transformed relationship, speaking the truth in love, let us equip one another and edify one another, to build one another up, that all of us may grow up to be more like Christ. What's the theme of this? Everything we're talking about? It's to grow. It's to mature. It's to be more like Jesus, and it takes one another. Many of these different ways throughout these verses, maybe that's something for you to apply to your life. Speaking truth in love, setting up boundaries, being in unity, being firm, standing firm on the Word of God. Whatever it is that you need, the Word of God has it for you. And there's other people in this room and in our church that want to help you grow. So how do we know that transformation happens? Right? Like, we can talk about transformation, we can talk about what we want. How do we know how to gauge it? How do we know? I'm somebody like, I want to know that I've accomplished this. How do we measure it? Because to be honest, it's really hard to measure transformation without seeing, you know, the scale tells you the number, but how do you measure yourself spiritually? Well, here's some evidences of transformation. One of them is Christ-likeness. Are you more like Christ or not? Often you can look back on your life from the past year. Are you more like Christ? Or man, I still got some work to do. Let's be honest, we all have some work to do. But it's a process. And we should be coming and looking more and more like Christ. More selfless. More serving. More giving. More generous. More giving our lives to reflect and be like Jesus. Second one there is stability. Is there stability in your life? Can you stand firm on the Word of God and where God has called you? Or is it every new teaching or every new thing gets you off track? Or maybe a relationship change happens or a circumstance change. I think stability is a sign of transformation. When the storms came on the boat, when the disciples were crossing the sea, Jesus came and brought stability. How much more can we be stable through the storms? I'm built my life upon Jesus. He's a firm foundation. I will not be shaken. I love that declaration of build my life. You know, I put my trust in you alone. I will not be shaken. Declare that for yourself. Speak that for yourself. Third thing is truth joined with love. Don't just speak truth to people, but I think a good gauge is, I think Pastor John has actually shared this with me. He says, is your heart and your mind as open as your mouth is? Pastor John, if you know him, he can say things like that, so I use him, right? Is your heart and your mind or your ears as open as your mouth is? Meaning, a lot of people can dish it out, but they have a hard time hearing it, right? It's really easy to point out the problems in other people's lives. It's really easy. I can call people out left all day long, but then it's usually a lot harder to hear it for myself. Truth joined with love is not just dishing out truth, but doing it with love. Not just saying, hey, you got a problem, you better fix it. But hey, let me come alongside of you. Hey, you know, and building that relationship so that it can withstand the weight of the truth that needs to be spoken. The fourth thing is cooperation. Everything we do is meant to be done together, in cooperation with one another, to be done in relationship, not just lone Christians off doing their own things. So four ways you can measure, you can look at your life as, am I more like Christ? Am I more stable? Am I able to share truth and hear truth joined with love? Am I doing life more with other Christians, not just going to work and being around people, but am I doing life with more people within the church that I'm called to be a part of? These are just some of the ways you can identify if transformation has happened. But before any of we even get to all the stuff and we can get to all of the relationships in the natural, it's got to start with our relationship with God the Father. I invite you actually all to stand to your feet. I want to offer you this moment to make absolute certainty where you stand with your relationship with God. And be honest, all of us are in a process of growing in our relationship with God. I believe you're either growing or you're falling away. I want us all to grow in our relationship with God. But if you don't know for absolute certainty that you have a relationship, not religion, not church membership, not baptism, none of the stuff that is all good, but it has to be started with a relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. If you don't know for absolute certainty that you have a relationship with Him, that you know Him as Father, not just the big God in the sky, but as Father. If you want to make the decision to say, I want to know Him as Father. I want to know God as the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. I'm offering you this moment to just say yes to that. And I'm going to pray for you. So if that's you, if we could close our eyes and bow our heads, I just want to pray for that right now. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here right now. God, that we all would grow closer to you in our relationship with you, in our relationships with others. God, I pray specifically for anybody here that doesn't know for absolute certainty that they have a relationship with you. God, not just religion, but they have a relationship that they know they can talk to you. They know they can communicate with you. That they know that you love them as a perfect heavenly Father. God, I pray they make that decision right now to say yes to you. that you would forgive them of their sin, that you'd forgive their past, that you'd forgive everything they've ever done that goes against what you would want for them to do. And God, that you would lead them into their future. Father, I pray you'd bring healing right now to every person's heart who's had painful or negative or traumatic relationships in the past. And God, that you would show them how much they can trust you. That they'd make a decision to trust you once again. God, that you'd lead them and guide them. Because we know your plan for us is good and acceptable and perfect, just as Romans 12:2 says. God, I pray we'd make decisions today to follow you and to pursue that relationship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Jared's going to come up. We're going to have a time to give and also some vision ops. And then we're going to pray for group leaders. And then I'll dismiss for popcorn and get signed up for groups so you can